Okay, we are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So today we speak about Tochein and Borer on Yantif, as we will get up to. Okay, but first we have to finish up yesterday's daf. So the Gemara had quoted the Mishnah from Maisros, which said, Hamakalif Sa'orin, by the two dots on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. If you one peels barley, so then you have to do it one by one, and then it would not be make you chayiv in maisrus. But if you do it all together, if you do kalav and nasal dochyad, you put a bunch in your hand, then you'd be chayiv. That would be a gemar malacha for maisrus. And then Rebbe Elazar made the statement of the chaim l'shabbos. The same would apply to Shabbos, meaning the seifa of this case, that if you gather them all and put them into your hand, that'll be create gemar malacha. That would also be an iser of Makalif on Shabbos. What iser? Rashi quotes four lines from where they get wide. Lo havi mefachim l'Shabbos achas lo havi mefarik tolda d'dash kila achar yadhu. If you do it one by one, that would not be mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. And therefore it would be mutter. Alamisha kibson biyado havi toldos disha v'chayev. But once you put it into your hand, that would be a toldos disha and chayev. This is Rashi Shita, and this is most Rishonim, that mefarek is, meaning this type of separation, getting something from the inside out, would be a tolda of dash, and that's the potential issur that we were talking about here. As we mentioned yesterday, it appears from this Gemara, according to Rashi, that kiluf is peeling is within the malacha of dash and not borer. Okay, that's a discussion at the end of Shinchaf Aleph in the Ramah. There is another shita though in the Rishon. If you look in the Gemara in Shabbos of the Ayin Gimel, where Mefarik is also discussed, there's a Tosfos there that quotes Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam says Mefarik can't be dash because the Gemara calls milking a cow Mefarik. Cholev is chayiv misha Mefarik. And how could there be dush by a cow? Ain disha ela begedule karka, says Rabbeinu Tam. Disha only applies by gedule karka, things that grow from the ground. And therefore, mefarik can't be disha. So what's mefarik, says Rabbeinu Tam? Mefarik is memachik, smoothing. When you milk a cow, you're kind of smoothing out the udder of the cow. And that's memachik, that's the malacha of mefarik. Rov Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. In that Tosfos on Ayin Gimel Amud, Rashi and Tosfos, the Ri himself there, most Rishonim and the Rambam argue. And how do you answer the Rabbeinu Tam's kasha? In Disha El Gedulei Karka? The answer is, animals are Gedulei Karka. It doesn't mean grow from the ground, but live off the ground. And that's Gedulei Karka. The Gemara later on, which contrasts Gedulei Karka to an item, contrasts it to fish. Fish do not live off the ground. But animals, in certain contexts, can be called gidulei karka. Okay, so that is just a machlokas. We've shown him what is mafarik. So Rashi here, though, says, tolda of dash. Okay, so let's continue. So the Gemara said, how could you say, Rabbi Elazar says, v'chein l'shabbos, when it comes to the putting all the barley seeds into your hand, eini v'arab mekvali b'bisu kasi kasi, v'bchia b'kalafalei d'bisu kasi kasi. We see these Rabbanim's wives did it on Shabbos, so it can't be that it's asar on Shabbos, because you see they did it. Ela'i et marasei fe'inmer. You're right, Rabbi Elazar's statement of v'chein l'shabbos, comparing maisrus and Shabbos, is going on the seifa of that Mishnah. As the Mishnah says, ha'molel melilos shel chitim, molel melilos, as we spoke about yesterday, you're rubbing the wheat stalks together, minafeach al yad al yad. You could do it one by one on weekday in order for it not to be chayv in maisrus. Va'ochel, then you could eat it without taking it off maisrus. V'mnafach v'nofel v'nasal tocheko chayv. But no, if you did it and you separated it all in your hand and then you blew out the psoles and you left a bunch in your hand in your chayk in your chest at once chayv, then you'd be chayv. That would be gemar malacha for maisrus. Amar Rabbi Elazar, and on that, the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar said, v'chein l'shabbos. And on that, Rabbi Elazar compared it to Shabbos. And if you would do that second half, the putting it into your chayk on Shabbos, that would be a iser of Shabbos. So maskal the Rabbi Bar Mambo, one second. V'reishon l'maiser in l'shabbos lo. So what do we say? He couldn't say yeshita on Shabbos. Meaning, in the reisha case, where you are being makalif sa'orim, if you would gather them all into your hand, that would be a gemar malacha for maisrus, but you wouldn't be chayiv on Shabbos, because you see all of these Amoram's wives did it. So the Gemara says, umiik amidil in Shabbos lo havi gemar malacha, ulo maisr havi gemar malacha. Do you ever find something that for Garni Hilcha Shabbos is not considered gemar malacha? Meaning you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, and yet it would be an act that would be a gemar malacha, and it would be significant regarding Hilcha's maisrus. Do you ever find such a chilek between Shabbos and the Maestros? So, Mask of Lorav Shezhe Bredir Avidi. Velo, you don't. I'll give you another example. V'ha'garnan l'maiser, what's the Gemara Malacha for maiseris? Ditznan, as the Mishnah says, the maiseris, the Mishnah there gives the time, the Gemara Malacha, for many of the different items. So, ezo garnan l'maiser, hakishurim, hadilun, misha yifasku, these types of cucumbers and gourds, misha yifasku, when the blossoms fall off. That's their Gemara Malacha. V'shalopasku, and those items that don't have blossoms falling off, misha yamen aremo, when you make a pile. So by certain onions and others, when you make a pile, that's a Gemara Malacha. And yet we know, if you look at Shabbos, ha'amadas harama pater. And yet we know by Shabbos, making the pile is going to be pater. Why? What about that? We know there's a Malacha called Ma'amer. Ma'amer, one of those few Malachas that doesn't really come up as Manazeh. But this isn't going to be Ma'amer because there are many limitations on Ma'amer. Ein Ma'amer el b'makom gidulo, ein imur achar imur. There are many limitations on imur. So if your apples fall off your table on Shabbos and you gather them up, that's not imur because that's not b'makom gidulo. And that's, they were gathered once. Ein Ma'amer achar Ma'amer. So here too, you're not going to be chayev for Emer in this case, because Rashi says, "Ulenin Shabbos mishahavi b'salam lebeso ein ha'amadas harema malacha." So therefore, this is another example. If you make the pile in your silo, it's going to be a gemar malacha for maestros. And if you do that on Shabbos, you're not going to be chaya for Shabbos. Elamai is a chalam emar. So what are you going to tell me? What the reason is why there's a chilek over there between Shabbos and maestros? Meleches machsheves asur Torah is based on the principle of meleches machsheves, which is a principle in many areas of Hilchos Shabbos, which means it's a pasuk in Vayakel which Unkelus translates as meleches umnis, that the Shabbos malacha has a very high standard. It has to be thought out, exact, expert craftsman's work. And here, this piling is not thought out craftsman's work, and that's what you need by Shabbos and not by Maestris. So, and that's why there's a difference over there by Shabbos. So, Hanami, here too, in our case, you'd say the same thing. Meleches Machsheves, Asra Torah, and that's how, yes, there will be differences between Shabbos and Maestris. This is a huge discussion. We touched on this a couple of years ago when we learned Masechah Shabbos, and that is Meleches Machsheves, Asra Torah. Most of the time, and the Minchas Asher catalogs all the cases in the Rishonim of this. In Parshas Vayakel, he has 12 cases, which is most of the time, 12 examples where Meleches Machsheves is a kula by Hilchos Shabbos, comparing it to other areas of halacha. For example, most of the Klali Shabbos, Mekalkel, Misasig, Davar Sheni Miskavi, Meleches Sheni Svicha Lagufa, all of those principles, one of the Rishonim says, you know why there's a principle of Misasik by Shabbos and not by Kol Torah Kulo, or at least a different type of Misasik, or Mekalkel doing an act in a destructive way, or Shinui, the halachas of Shinui might apply differently to Hilchos Shabbos than by other areas of halacha. There's a Rashbam that says, Pachos Mikashir. Why is Pachos Mikashir Pater for Shabbos, and maybe other areas do not have that Shir? All of these principles are based on Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. On Shabbos, there's a high standard of what Melacha is. It has to be thought out, exact craftsman's work, and therefore, if you don't do it that way, you would be Pater. And that's exactly here, too. Here, Meleches Machsheves is a Kula for Hilchos Shabbos. He also quotes Melacha Sheinim Miskayim. If it's not permanent, that also might be based on the principle of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. All of these, that is how it's most of the time it is used in Shas and in the Rishonim, that it is a kula for Hilchos Shabbos. There's even a sheet of the Shiltos quoted in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud in Tosfos, where the Shiltos says, we will paskin more leniently by Shabbos than by Kol HaTorah Kula because of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. He says in the Machlokas about Davar Sheini Miskavin, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, he has a stira. The context there is a sirus gemara, where there might be a sirus that happens causing somebody not to have children anymore, or a sirus, might be in a Davar Sheini Miskavin case. Why is that a problem? And Tosfos there asks, according to Shiltos, don't we paskin Davar Sheini Miskavin is mutter, like Reb Shimon? And the Gemara says, no, that's only by Hilchos Shabbos, because Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. But outside of Hilchos Shabbos, maybe not. So you see, even in terms of psak, we'll be more mako by Meleches Shabbos. But, as Rav Asher Weiss here quotes, there are, in his view, 7 other sources, besides the 12 chumras, there are 7 other sources where Meleches Machsheves is used as a chumra. There's one, the most famous one probably is in the Gemara itself. That's in Baba Kama Daf Samach, where the Gemara there is talking about doing damage in an indirect way, doing damage with the wind. And the Gemara there says, Grama bin Izakan is going to be putter. Even though the Malacha of Zoreh, winnowing, how do you winnow? You throw items up in the air, and then the wind blows the psoles out, and then the ochel, the good stuff, falls to the bottom. You're using the wind, so why, if you use the wind by nezek, you're going to be pater for grama, and by Shabbos, Zora is going to be chayiv, says the Gemara, Malachas Bachshevas Asra Torah. Because even though usually it's a chumrah that you need this high standard work, it could also be a, even though it's usually a kula, it could also be a chumrah. Because Lamaisa, did what you want happen? Yes. If what you wanted happened, that's Malachas Bachshevas. It's the work that you thought out, and it happened. And therefore, you might be chayiv in Shabbos and not chayiv in Kol Torah Kula. One other example, and then we'll move on. There's a machlokas in Shabbos. He quotes here, Daf Kuf Dalet. Machlokas, we've shown him. We know there's usually the two ways of writing. There's what we call Chak Yerechos and Chak Tochos. Chak Yerechos is when you write the actual letter. Right, you write Lamed Mem. That's what you generally have to use for writing a Sefer Torah and filling them. Those are Chak Yerechos. You have to write and form the letters with your writing. Chak Tochos means you form the background and the letter is there. Meaning, let's say you color in background and you leave open a Lamed and it's on the klaf now, but now you can see it's a Lamed because you filled in the background. That's called Chak Tochos, and that, you know, that's a puzzle Sefer Torah. That's why sometimes when you correct a Sefer Torah, you have to be careful. Was it smudged, the ink, so much? So if you erase some of the ink that was around, and then the letter is formed by what's left, that might be a problem of Chak Tochos. You might have to go over the letter again in some cases. If the letter wasn't clearly Nikar beforehand, again, an issue within writing a Sefer Torah. So there, the Rashba and the Rana of the Machlokas, what about Chak Tochos L'inyan Hilcha Shabbos? Are you chayef for ksiva by Chak Tochos for Hilcha Shabbos? That's the Machlokas between the Rashba and the Rana. And the Rana there says, even though it's not ksiva regarding Hilcha Sefer Torah and Hilcha's Gittin, but it is ksiva regarding Shabbos because Malachas Bach Shabbos also Torah. After all, you did it. You wanted to write the letter and you wrote the letter. So what if it was Chok Tochos? Again, there are other examples, but you know this is a huge issue. Again, Rova the cases, and he only has 12 to 7, so it's not such a Ruba de Minkar. But in general, most of the cases are Lakula, but he also has cases of Chumra.
Okay.
Uvda Techol is a separate issue on a Durabanan level. If you use items it looks like a malacha, what you're doing, or something like that, so then that'd be an issue of Uvda Techol. This is on a Daraisa level, where the Mechai principles mean Daraisa based on Malachas Machshavas.
Rashi says that the Parsha is next to the Parsha of
Vayakel. Rashi says it's next to the Mishkan, meaning Malachas Machshavas, whatever was thought out work in the Mishkan, is going to be Pater on Shabbos.
That always bothered me. The word Shabbos is mentioned 20 times in the Torah. Why do you pick this
one? Shabbos is mentioned 20 times in the Torah, but you know what? They're really, Chazal darshan many of the smichus of Shabbos and others. Shabbos and Kibbutz of Aim are mentioned in the same pasuk in Kedoshim. So we learn out from there. If your father tells you to do an Aveira, you can't do it. Shabbos is mentioned by the Mishkan 2 times. Remember we spoke about it. There are 3 or 4 sources of the Malachas of Malachas Shabbos. Where do you know it from? You compare Shabbos, Tosfos says, to Malachas of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tosfos and Pesachim says that the 39 Malachas are what they did in Mitzrayim. Perach, I forgot, there was an Adbash. They are Tosfos quoted. And there's the Zohar that says it's compared to Maisa Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu used these malachas kaviyachal when he created the world, and that's why on Shabbos we don't. So we paskin like the day in Masechta Shabbos, in the fourth barak, that it goes by the connection to the Mishkan. But again, the Chazal darshan all the smichas apsukim when it comes to Shabbos. Okay, let's continue. 2 dots on the bottom. Ketzad molel. How do you do melila? What's melila? We spoke about that you have these wheat stalks, and you're going to get the seeds off of the stalks. How do you do Malila? Machlokas Rishonim. Are we talking about Shabbos and Yontif? Shabbos or Yontif here? So on the previous daf, yesterday's daf on Yud Beis and Mabez, we ended up saying you're allowed to be Mola Malilos on Yontif, not on Shabbos. So some Rishonim say that this line is talking about on Shabbos if you would want to do it. On Yontif, you don't need any type of Shinui. Because like yesterday's daf, you can just do it outright. But on Yontif, on Shabbos, you do need a Shinui. That is how the Ra'ah and the Rif and others read this Gemara. This Gemara is about how do you do Melila even on Shabbos, but on Yontif you don't have to do any of the following Shinuyim in order to matir it. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Rashi and Tosfos do not say that. Rashi and Tosfos say, if you look at Rashi and Tosfos here, they both say we're talking about Yontif. When the Gemara earlier said that Molin Melilos, this type of cutting off the seeds from the stalks, is talking about on Yontif you need the Shinuyim, but on Shabbos it's totally Aser. On Shabbos, you wouldn't even be able to use this shinui. But so Ketzad Molel, how do you do? What type of shinui? Again, Shabbos or Yatif. Abayim Shre the Rav Yosef Amar Chada Achada. Usually, what is done is you take the wheat stalk and you rub it together like this with 2 hands. So what type of shinui is used for to allow you to do it on Yontif, let's say according to Rashi and Tosfos, because there is a problem of Uvdin Dechol. It looks like you're doing a malacha on a weekday activity on Yontif. So how, what kind of shinoi would we allow you to do? So three days. Rav Yosef Amar Chada Achada, you're allowed to use two fingers, one on one. Your thumb and your second finger, you're allowed to go like this. And therefore, that's the only shinoi that's allowed. Rav Avi Mishay, the Rav Yosef Amar Chada Tarti. No, you can use two fingers. The thumb against the two fingers. Rabba Amar, Kiva de Mishani Afilu Chada Akulunami. Once you're being Mishana and you're not using your other hands, you're allowed to use all your fingers. And put the stalk with the seeds in between and rub the seeds off. That's how you do melila. Ketzan minafeach. How about blowing? We said earlier that you allowed it. Once you have in your hand, you have the chaff and the seed and everything in your hand. How do you blow it? How do you separate it? Also, the normal way of doing it is putting your hands together. You have it in both of your hands and you blow. So what's the shinui that's needed for that? So Amar of Adabarava, Amarav, minafeach mikishri espaosav, ulamala. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to have the mixture from your knuckles up towards the tips of your fingers, only on your fingers, and in that area of your hand, that's enough of a shino. That's where it should be, and you blow out from there. In Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at this. Kivin de Mishani, once you're doing a shino, meaning you're not using both hands, so it's enough to do the shino, even if you have it all in one hand, to use the whole hand. Therefore, you're allowed to have it in your whole hand, as long as you're only doing it one. So that is molin melilo, that is minafeach. Right, so that we already said yesterday is even mutter on Shabbos. That is, so even according to Rashi and Tosfos, that line has to be talking about Shabbos. And then if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Tuf Kuf Yud. That minafeach, you're allowed to blow out the taroves, blow out the shaf on Shabbos. I'm not 100% sure why that's mutter on Shabbos. I don't see the Rishonim, why isn't that borer? And even if you want to say it's done with a shinoi, like the Rishonim say, so it's shinoi, so it's borer with a shinoi. So it should be asked to be the Rabbanan. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Rishonim don't discuss it. So there must be a pashut answer, unless this is totally not the Turas HaMalacha of Borer. This is the type of shinoi that totally loses the Shem Malacha. Which, it seems like it doesn't lose the Shem Malacha totally. You have it in one hand, you have a Tyrovis, you're blowing out the garbage. So is that called Ochel Mito Psoles? That's really a Machlokas HaPoskim. That whether, when you blow out the Psoles, and what's left in your hand is the Ochel, is that called Ochel Mito Psoles? As you mentioned, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, when you pour out soup, and when you're pouring out the Psoles, and what's left in your hand is the Ochel, so is that Ochel Mito Psoles, or Psoles Mito Ochel? So is the Gemara here taking a stand on that? So if it's Ochel Mito Psoles, then what do you need the Shinui for? If it's Ochel Mito Psoles. But again, this is what the Shulchan Aruch matters. Obviously, for some reason, it's not considered just Borer with a Shinui. It is Mutter, and that's what is Paskin. Period. Next Mishnah. So this is the Amud in Shas about Tochein on Yantif. Tachina, grinding on Yantif. Says the Mishnah. Beishamai Omrim, Tavlin Nidochen B'madoch Shal Eitz. Beishamai says that you have to do the Tchina, the grinding, with a type of Shinui on Yantif. We'll get to why in a second. So Beishamai Omrim, Tavlin Nidochen B'madoch Shal Eitz. Tavlin, spices, which are usually ground with stone utensils. You have the madoch, just to get the kalim down correctly, the madoch and the meducha. The madoch is the pounder, the crushing item that you push down, and the meducha is what you grind into. That's the madoch and the meducha. So Beishamai says, the tavlin idochen b'madoch shaleitz, you have to use a wooden crusher, not a stone one. That's the shinoi by tavlin. V'hamelach, and salt, requires a even more of a shinui, bipach. You have to use a earthenware meducha. Rashi explains, the thing that you crush into has to be earthenware, uba esaparer, or crush with a wooden spoon. Melach requires a bigger shinui. Ube silo omrim, and obviously these items are not as effective as a stone crusher. Ube silo omrim, tavlin idochen kedarka, no, regular spices could be crushed kedarka in their normal way, but madoch shel eitz, with a stone crusher, v'hamelach b'madoch shel eben, v'hamelach b'madoch shel eitz. And salt requires a little shinui, and that is with a wooden crusher. So you require shinuyim here because of uvda d'chol. That's what it seems. Uvda d'chol is usually whenever you have a problem of, it looks like a weekly activity, if you do a shinui and use different kalim, then that gets out of the problem. And the Ra'ah says that here b'feirish, it's the issue of uvda d'chol. Why are we worried? Because if it's a weekday activity, there's a zilzul of yantif, so then we're going to be worried about it. But go back a question. Go back for a second. Ask the Pnei Yeshua what we discussed on Dav Gimel. We're talking about the Malach of Tochein. Tochein is right before, in the 11th, Sidur the Pas, is before Lisha. Didn't the Rishami says only Milisha Ve'elech is Mutter? So why is Tochin Mutter Bechlal? Why is Tochin should not be included in the Heter of Ochel Nefesh? We said, based on the Yerushalmi, what a machlokas. Is that Yerushalmi a Daraisa? Is it an Asbach to Drabanan? Either way, we said Milisha Ve'elech. That's what's Mutter in the Sidur of the Pas. So why is it Lisha's Mutter and Bishol's Mutter? But the earlier stages, before Lisha, in the Malachis, should be also say, ask the Bnei Yeshua, why is it Mutter? The Yerushalmi said Milisha Ve'elech only. So forget over the Tachol. It could be a Daraisa problem, according to those we showed him. Why is it Mutter L'Shem Ochel Nefesh? So for that, we need, the Meiri alluded to it earlier, we mentioned it Daf Gimel, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is the one that says it. He says it in a footnote in the Shmir Shabbos, but he also says it in the Mincha Shlomo, quoted on Maseches Beitza. And that is, there are certain malachos, you're right, they are before Lisha. But certain malachos, by definition, are part of eating. They're part of eating. For example, Borer, or Tochein. These are items that are done in the eating process. In your mouth, you're separating. You put something in your mouth. You take out some pits from your mouth. You take out the bones. In your mouth, the solids that you put in your mouth are mixed with your saliva. So that's a lisha also. How are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Obviously, you're allowed to do that. Obviously, that's eating. That's not a malacha. But it says there's a mazama. Where do you draw the line? By lisha, by tochein. You're tochein, you grind things up with your teeth. That's obviously mutter. So a little bit beforehand, says of Shlomo Zalman, that also is an extension of eating. If right before you eat it, right before you put it into your mouth, that's also going to be called eating. So even though there are certain malachos that are before Lisha, but malachos that are generally usually done, and these items are usually prepared right before you eat, that's really an extension of Achila, and we will agree and we'll push them into the heter of Ochel Nefesh. And that is why, by certain malachos, not many, they have a heter of Miyad. You have a heter of doing it immediately. By Bori, you have a heter of Miyad. Why isn't there a heter of cleaning your shirt Miyad? You know, if you got a stain on your shirt, oh, if you clean it and wear it right away, then it's okay, Miyad. No, there's no such thing. Because Miyad, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, is really an extension of your eating. Just like there's Lisha and Borer and Tochein in your mouth. So too, if you do it right beforehand, that's why by Borer we have a heter of Miyad, along with the other heterim. That's why by Tochein, there are Ma'a quotes. There are Ma'a quotes in Shin Chaf Aleph, that there's a heter by Tochein also of Miyad. Not everybody agrees to that, but that's why, at least, you have some that say that, Im Lachlu Miyad, Akol Shari, Midi Tehavi Borer, Lechlu Miyad Tashari. That is Rosh Shlomo Zalman answering that Pnei Yeshua's Kasha of why these might be included in the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, even though it is it before the before Lisha in the list. Okay, so this is the Mishnah about doing a Shinui by Tochei. Rashi points out here that what are we talking about? It says Melach about you're grinding up your salt. What kind of grinding up your salt? What if you get a clump of salt in your salt shaker Bizman Hazeh and you grind it up? That's the issue in the Mishnah. So Rashi points out, no. Because Rashi points out, we're talking about the original. When you have a salt clump, when it comes from the original salt deposits, wherever the salt comes from. But in our salt shaker, there is no Isser of Tochein. Why? Principle of Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. We paskin, there is no Tochein Achar Tochein, just like there are a few limits of the Tochein. Ein Tochein Ela Bugdu the Karka, there's no problem of Tochein by tuna fish. Ein Tochein Ela, you know, Ein Tochein Ba'ochlin, some suggest, but Ein Tochein Bugdu the Karka, but here, the Ramah quotes, Avo Mutter Lefarer Lechem Lefnei Tarnagolo. Let's say you want to crush up your challah, and then put it into your soup, or you want to do it, that's 100% mutter. Why ain't tochein achar tochein? I thought with the bishul issues we discussed. Okay, you got to make sure it's in a klish lishi. But ain't tochein achar tochein. The whole kvar nitchan ain't lachush to ain't tochein achar tochein. That's what we pass there for the salt. We're not talking about the salt here that gets clumped up afterwards. We're talking about the salt that originally was together. I'll just quote you one more source related to this. The Chazonish explains, what is there a svara for ain't tochein achar tochein? Right, why is it, but he says, is that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Are they similar? Says the Chazon Ish, they are not similar. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul does not apply because remember, by Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, let's say it cools down. So if it cools down and now it's cold, so many Bisharim say now Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, if it's totally cold. Okay, if it's not totally cold, so says the Chazon Ish, don't say Ein Tochein Achar Tochein, it's like Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. He writes in Simen Nun Zayin, Inyan ain't trina achar trina sheskira poskim ain't no inyan lein bishul achar bishul. Because what's ain't tochein achar tochein as follows. Ain't tochein ella behafrada shel chibur tivi. Tchina is defined as the malacha of grinding and separating and breaking a natural connection. Aval hafrada shel chibur bnei adam ain't no bechlal tochein. That's the root halacha of Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, says the Chazon Ish. Bread, why is there Ein Tochen Achar Tochen? Because that connection, that unit is man-made. Tchina, Achar Tchina, is only when it is made by God. If you're breaking something that is made by God, by Hashem, so then that is Tchina. But anything that's man-made, Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. So, Achronim discussed, what if you have a case that's man-made, but you're totally mevatel the earlier Tchina? Right, the post can talk about, are you allowed to, let's say you have a cake on Shabbos, and you want to decorate it with chocolate. So sometimes what do? You grind up or smash it with a fork chocolate so you could sprinkle onto the icing. So chocolate was ground up, chocolate beans earlier in the process were ground up. That's not, you don't even see any of the tchina b'zman hazeh, it was put back together. So would the Chazon Ish, if the reason for Ein Tochen Achar Tochen is not just per se Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, but man-made versus God-made, so what about a case where there's a man-made chibur, but it's totally lost the earlier effects of the tchina? So I saw the Archa Shabbos that we discussed in the Pesach. The Archa Shabbos discusses maybe even the Chazon Ish would agree by chocolate. Because even though it's man-made, but it totally loses the shame, the earlier tchina, but if you look at his words, he really seems to say man-made versus chibur bidei shamayim. Okay, so that is all Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, a little bit. Now we go further. But everybody agrees that by melach, even Meisel seems to agree that melach requires a shinui in how you grind it. My time. We'll get to halacha l'maisa of tochen before the next mishnah. Let's just do the whole amud of tochen on yontif, and then we'll see how this plays out l'maisa. So tchuli amamiyas melach bo yishinui, my time. So why do you have to do a shinui when you grind salt? Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, Chad Amar, Kol Agderes Kulon Tzrichas Melach, Vein Kol Agderes Kulon Tzrichas Tavlin. Two reasons why salt is more chamur than other spices. Reason number one is that you always need salt. Every kedera needs salt. And therefore, you know before yantif that you're going to need this salt. So you should have done it before yantif. And that's why salt is going to be more chamer, because you know you're going to need the salt the next day. The chadamar, a different reason. Kol atavlu mefigin taima, nu melach ein mefigin taima. Spices, when you grind them, the day before you want to use them, it loses some of its taste. Salt is so strong that even if you grind it the day before, it's not going to lose the taste. So again, the salt you should have done before yantif. The other spices, we don't fault you because you want to do it on yantif right before you use it because that's when it's the best tasting. My benayu, what's the difference between these two reasons? Ike benayu, two cases. Number one, the yada mai kedera boil of shulei. One nafkamina is, let's say you know what you're going to eat tomorrow. You know what you're going to eat tomorrow. So if you know what you're going to eat tomorrow, then according to the first opinion, then even the other spices you have to grind before yantif, because you know you're going to use them. But according to the second opinion, you don't have to still, because they're not going to taste as good. Or inami b'morika, or another type of spice that's very strong, and it won't lose its taste even if you do it from before yantif. So again, according to the first reason, you don't know you're going to need it though, so it's going to be mutter. But according to the second reason, to do it directly. But according to the second reason, you would have to do it bishinu. Okay, so two different days. Tosfos here says, how do we paskin? How do we paskin between these two, according to which reason? It's going to come up very important. Halacha l'maisa. Tosfos says, quotes the Ri and says, each shita has a kula and a chumra, as we just had two nafkaminas. So you have to be machmer. You have to be machmer in both cases. Whether you knew or you didn't know before yantif, whether it's a strong or not a strong spice, either way, says Tosfos, you have to be machmir because even though this is a dindra banan, afal gav Tosfos et debishal sofrim halach achra mekel, but see here, because each one has a kula and a chumra, you have to be machmir. That's Tosfos. If you look at the Meiri here, he has just the opposite shita. Because it's a dindra banan, take the kulas of both sides. That's what the Meiri says. Tosfos, at the end of Tosfos, says it doesn't make a difference because we're going to really paskin like the next line of the Gemara, which we didn't get up to yet. But either way, this is Tosfos and the Meiri, which have the opposite issues. Just one ha'ara, the Sharim Sanim Balacha says, think back a couple months, or years, we had a Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara in Erevin says, if you hold up the chumras of two opposite opinions, right, you are a bur, you are a bur. Right, the language of the Gemara, earlier, all the way at the beginning of Erevin, Daf Zayin, im osa v'shtei kulas ave rasha, v'im osa k'shtei chumras k'sil b'chosha cholech. Right, so you have to do like the kulas of one of the chumras, you can't just pile on chumras. Right, relates to the Chumash here, which is now, if anybody wants to listen, it's online. I gave it on Sunday in Yeshiva, so it's on kolyomrishon.org. But anyway, so he says, if you do like both Chumras, so what are you doing like both Chumras here? So he says, this must be like, it's not exactly, but it must be like the Ran and Psachim. That's what you're going to say? The Ran and Psachim, where the Gemara in Psachim has a suffix about Dalakosos. The Gemara says you have to do Haseba by two of the four Dalakosos. But we don't know which ones. Maybe the first two, because that's the beginning of the Gula. Maybe the last two, because that's the end of the Gula. We don't know what to do. So the Gemara says, so do Haseba by all four. Ask the Ran, but what do you mean? Haseba, Dalakosos, is all the Mitzvah Darabanan. So what are you doing about it? It should be something Darabana Lakula. Says the Ran, no. If you say something Darabana Lakula, and therefore the whole din will be wiped out. What's the Lakula here? Don't do a Seba. Right? So then you don't say something Darabana Lakula in that case, where you're going to be Nekar Adin Lagamre. Ran has 2 days there. That's one of the dinim. The other dinim is that, oh, there's no Tircha. You might as well do it. But that's the second din. So it says, the Sharm Shem Malacha quotes that Ran here. It's not an exact parallel, but he says kind of also here. If you do one side, if you can end up being makel in a different area where you're not allowed, so then maybe it's inappropriate. Something Rabbanu Lakula is not should not be seen in a vacuum. So that's why that's how he explains Tosfos.
So you mentioned earlier in the week that certain dinim Rabbanan that are rooted in Doraisa,
right?
Different status.
Oh, certain dinim Rabbanan that ikaro mida araisa, if they're connected to a din araisa, maybe they're different. Okay, maybe that's what Tosfos here just says, but it seems to say, even though they're very sofrim, it doesn't seem to say that's the reason. But you're right, that's what might be behind his mentality. Amar of Yudam Shmuel Viter, Koni Dochen, Idochen, Gedarkan, Rafilu Melach. Shmuel comes along and says, no, everything can be ground in its normal way, even salt. That's what Tosfos says. Doesn't matter who we passing like earlier, because we really passing like Shmuel. What does Shmuel do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that Melech requires a Shinui. So Shmuel says, no, there's a different version of the Machlokas. The Tanya. Everybody agrees that if you would grind up spices and salt together, that you would not require a Shinui, if the salt is with the other spices. Machlokas is salt by itself. Barbishame says, Melach, you have to do in a pach, in a earthenware bowl, and with a wooden parur, and even when you do it, you're only allowed to use a small amount, enough that would be required for tzli. You're going to roast it anyway, on a barbecue, therefore the blood's going to fall down, so only a small amount of salting is needed, but you're not allowed to do as much as you would do for a cooking item. Nobody says anything's allowed. You could use anything. The Gemara, the Rashi says, what, even a dover that's muksa? So I said, no. No, it means there are no limits. You can do it in the normal way. Do you see from Shmuel that all the grinding is mutter, even melech? When Rabbi Bardala told his son, you know, when you grind, put the grinding item sideways. Do a little shinu. Rav Sheshes Shama called Buchna. Rav Sheshes one time was walking and he heard the sound of grinding. Amar Hailav, and he heard sound of grinding of salt. That's the assumption. But Hailav Migave de Besehu. Oh, that's not at my house. What do you mean it's not at his house? Why? He assumed, Rashi explains, that he had asked them to do it. So that's why he said, oh, that's not at my house because I told them they can't do it. Vidumas Liatsli, what do you mean? Maybe they put the thing on its side. And therefore, they are doing a shinui. Because he has to hold like Shmuel me'ikar adin, the Gemara assumes. So he wants to be machmir a little extra. So maybe he put it on its side. No, the Shami David Solo Kale. He heard a very clear sound, so it must have been going straight. Vidoma tavlan have. Maybe it was spices. So meaning spices don't need any kind of shinui. Only salt needs the shinui. L'chadchila. Tavlan nevuchi min bakalayu. No, tavlan make a very loud sound. Right? Menabech is to bark. Right? It makes a very loud sound. And that's why he knew this wasn't such a loud sound. It was a soft sound. That's how he knew it was salt. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that Rav Sheshes was Sagi Nahar. Sometimes, Rahman al-Islam, when somebody's Sagi Nahar, they have a greater sense of hearing. Right? They hear better than somebody with sight. So that's why here, Dafka Rav Sheshes realized the sounds, you know, that were loud or not so loud, based on this Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Enos de Tisni. You're not allowed to make Tisni, which is a type of substance, Rashi explains, we have to do very fine grinding. It's a big tircha. So we're not going to allow you to do it on Yantif. They ain't coaching Mimachdashes. And you can't grind in a grinder. Tarti, what do you mean? What's the connection between these two lines? Isn't making Tisni using a grinder? So once you say one, you shouldn't have to say the other. Hachikamar, my Tom, ain't osin. Tisni feeds in coaching Mimachdashes. Read it as one statement. You can't make Tisni because you can't grind in a grinder. Vlay main coaching Mimachdashes. So just say the second line. Don't grind in a grinder. Itani ain't kachem machtashes. If you'd only say that line, have a mina hani mila machtashes gadola. I would have thought only a big grinder is a problem. Avo machtashes katana ema shaper dummy. But with a small grinder, it would be okay. Kamash balan, that's the extra line. Once it says, don't you make tisni, what's the extra line of ezod machtashes? It must be answering both a gadol and a katan. Vahatanya ay, but the brisa allows it. Ain't kachem machtashes gadola. The brisa says, you're not allowed to use a big grinder. Avo kachem machtashes katana, be allowed to use a small grinder. Okay, you're right. Really, we only answered Machteshes Gedola. That's all what it means. Meaning, you read the Braisa, don't make Tisni with any grinder, because that's a big Tercha. The second line, don't use a Machteshes, that means a Machteshes Gedola. Tanya, or another answer, Rava Amar, Lokasha, Halon Vahalahu. The difference is between us or them, meaning Bnei Babel or Bnei Eretz Yisrael. What does this mean? Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Rashi says, Rashi Tosfos versus Rambam. Rashi and Tosfos says it means, halon, by us, we don't have servants that are mezalzel in Hilchas Yontif. So therefore, we can use on Yontif a small machteshes and not be afraid that they're really going to use a big one and lie about it. And say, oh, we really use a small one. So that's why halon, halahu, and Bnei Eretz Yisrael, they have some avadim there that are pritzi, that are mezalzel and yantif, and therefore they can't even use a machteshes katana because people might use a machteshes gadol and say it was katana. That's Rashi and Tosis' way of learning. The Rambam here has a different way. The Rambam says that the peros of Eretz Yisrael are somewhat different. Yeah, the Shin Mukabas here quotes the Rambam. I don't have the Rambam in front of me. The Shin Mukabas quotes the Rambam Zalpirish. Lebnei Eretz Yisrael ain't kosher machlech katana. They can't even use a small one because their tfua is so good that even if you use a small machteshes, you know, it'll come out great. And it'll be the regular way, and you have to have some type of shinui. Our payers aren't as good, and therefore, you know, we have to make some type of shinui. The Shita says, though, that the following Gemara seems to appear like Rashi and Tosfos. What does the Gemara continue? Rapapa visited Mar Shmuel. They brought him some type of ground up cereal, and he wouldn't eat it. Why? Because he thought there was a malacha done. The Dilma Machteshes Katana Abdua, maybe they made it in a small Machteshes, therefore it would be mutter. The Chazi Davidai Tzvei, no, he saw that it was very, very fine, they must have used a big Machteshes. The Dilma Mayasmol Abdua, maybe they made it yesterday. The Chazi David Kolf Sierai, no, he saw it was fresh and shining, so he knew it was done today. Vibai Seima, or Shani Bei Mar Shmuel, or he knew that he didn't want to trust the servants of Mar Shmuel. Tika Pritzusa Da Avdi, because the Avadim of Bei Mar Shmuel were not trustworthy. And therefore, he didn't want to use it. So it seems like it's an issue of Avdei Prisi. That's what Shita says. It sounds like Rashi. The Gemara tries to say that, you know, maybe this happened, maybe that happened, maybe they did it in this kosher way. So the Shita also, in the next line, says that maybe this Gemara is one of the rayas that every Jew has a cheskes kashrus. And ein echad mem b'isurin. Because the Gemara seems to try to say, you know, maybe he did it in this kosher way, in that kosher way. And the Gemara says why it couldn't have been done that way. Meaning mashmo, without these other factors, you would assume that he did it in the proper way. Principle of Eid Echa Nem and Bisurin. Every Jew has a Cheskas Kashrus. Okay, so this is the end of the Gemara about Tochen and Yantif. So Lamaisa, what comes out? What Tochen are you allowed to do on Yantif and what not? There's a nice summary of this in Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn Sefer, The Laws of Yantif, where he talks about three categories of Tochen and Yantif. Number one, Tochen that is totally Aser. What's Tochen is totally Aser? That's not our sugya. That's the sugya at the beginning of Paragimel, a Maseches Beitza. Types of Tochen that are usually done on a large scale. It's usually not done in our house. Making flour. Grinding wheat to make flour. That's totally Aser on Yantif. That's usually done. That's not included in the Heter of Ochel Nefesh. That is category A. Fine. Category B, though, is grinding that's permitted, a Tochen that's permitted in the normal manner. And that is a tochein that if you would do it before Yontif, it would totally ruin the food. If you do it before Yontif, it would totally ruin the food. So that's what he paskins, that any food that will spoil or lose a lot of its taste, if it is ground prior to Yontif, maybe prepared on Yontif in the usual manner, even with a grater or a masher, you do not need a shinui. For example, bananas. If you're going to mash a banana. If you assume mashing is tochein, which we discussed a couple years ago. Apples or other fruit may be grated with a grater in the usual manner. Vegetables may be sliced into very small pieces for a salad. All of these, if you do it before Yantif, it would totally ruin, it would lose its flavor, the banana would become gross, the vegetables would become brown, and therefore you'd be able to do that on Yantif even without a shinui. And then you have most things, and that's the third category, and that is items that you should have done the grinding before Yantif. There wouldn't have been any issue by doing it before Yantif, and you didn't for some reason, so that you're allowed to do on Yantif with a shinui. And that's different than Shabbos, because on Shabbos you can't do doing tochein sometimes with a shinui, that makes it durabanan. Unless you do a real shinui gummer, which would make it mutter. Use the back of a spoon, you know, to mash your potato. Some folks can say mashing isn't even tochein. But either way, these are the three categories on Shabbos. Grinding that's totally usher, grinding that's mutter, if it's going to get totally ruined if you do it beforehand, and grinding that you should have done before Yantif, you're allowed to do on Yantif with a shinui. What kind of shinui? So he says, either holding the utensil from its usual position or grinding the food directly onto the counter, not onto a plate. These are some of the examples. And then he quotes, I mean, it's based on this Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says in Siman, where's that Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Yantif. Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Yontif quotes in Tav Kuf Dalet. He quotes this idea of what Grani you're allowed to do. And then at the end of the Ramah quotes, Noagim Lashanos Ksas Bedichas Tfalim V'chein Roi Lahoros. Generally, we try to do a Shinoi. We try to use a Shinoi. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, Why do you always try to do a shinoi? Mitokach ye ha'am zechurim she'asu laduch rak b'shatzarach la'oso hayom. So if you do a shinoi, do a shinoi. He does quote that if l'kulei alma, if you know it's going to be mifigin time on legamri u'miskalkalin, then you shouldn't use a shinoi. That's the second category of simcha bunim kohen. But again, it's based on this Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Tafkuf Dalet. Again, totally usur if it's usually made on a grand scale. Mutter even without a shinoi if you have to do it today, or which might be all things because today you could put things in the fridge. So it might be that b'zmanazeh, almost everything, you should have to do tochein with a shinoi on yantif. Again, me'ikar din is included in the heter of ochel nefesh, but you do it with a shinoi to make sure you know it's yantif, to make sure there's no uvdud dechol issues, etc. Okay, that is the issue of tochein on yantif. Now we have the Gemara about borer on yantif. Says the Mishnah, ha'borer kitnios b'yantif, be'shami omrim few, borer kitnios from its outer shells are from the psoles. Beishami omrim borer ochel v'ochel. Beishami says there's no difference basically between Shabbos and Yontif. You got to take out the good. Borer ochel. Remember we said ochel doesn't only mean food. Tosfos and Shabbos and Davayin Dalet says ochel means subjective. What you want is called the ochel. What you don't want is the psoles. If you have nuts and raisins in a bowl and you take out the peanuts because you're allergic to peanuts or you hate peanuts and you want the raisins, that is psoles b'toch ochel. Even though the peanuts are ochel for somebody else, that's subjective. So here too, Beishami Omrim Och Borer Ochel V'Ochel, you take out the Ochel. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Borer Kidarko. Beis Hillel said, no, you could just take out in the normal way. What's considered the normal way? Taking out the bad. That's what the Mishnah assumes here is the normal way. You could even take out the bad from the good. Becheko, Bekanun, Ubetamcho, and even using a semi-professional separating item. Avalobetav, Avalobanav, Avalobekvar. You can't use a professional separating instrument, a sieve or a sifter. Rabbi Gamliel Lomer, Afmediech Vesholo. Rabbi Gamliel says you could even soak, let's say, foods to have the dirt float up to the surface. Tanya, let's continue and then we'll talk about it. When does Beis Hillel say you're allowed to take out the psoles, even kisha ochel maruba ala psoles? When the ochel is more than the psoles, then you can take out the psoles because it's less of a tircha. Aval psoles maruba al ha'ochel devri akol notel as ochel maniach as a psoles. But when it comes to psoles maruba, if the psoles is maruba, then you have to take out the ochel and do the less tircha. Psoles maruba ala ochel, let's continue for a minute. Mi'ika mandashari. What do you mean if the psoles is maruba? Who says you can even move it? Me command the shari. Why? Rashi says, amazing. Rashi says, the miyat ochel should be batel barov, and the whole item should be considered psoles. And it should be eino rai. So it says that when Gemara answers, no, lo tzricha, there's a case that you could come up with. The nafesh b'tircha v'zuta b'shiure. You come up with a case where the ochel is more, so it's not batel, but it's still more tircha to take out the psoles. If you have something fine, some fine types of grains, which is roves, therefore it's not going to be batel, but it's going to be zuta shiure, and therefore it's going to be more difficult to take it out. So before we get to the lamdis, let's talk about borer halacha l'maisa on Yontif. So are you allowed to be borer on Yontif? So again, going through Simcha Bunim Kohen, he has a nice, it's in Perek Zion of that Perek, borer on Yontif. So he, again, he has different categories. Situations where borer is permitted. What the category of borer is permitted? So he says selections are normally done in the daily course of food preparation and which cannot be done on Erev Yontif, can be done in the normal way, similar to Tochein. If you have to do borer right before the meal, then you do it right before the meal, and you could even do psoles mitoch ochel right before the meal. But a restriction is, and this is a case where Yontif is even more chomer than Shabbos. By Yontif, what you do right before the meal is fine, but there is another law, and that is whatever's less tircha, our Gemara. That's what you have to do on Yontif. Whatever's less tircha, if there's less psoles or less ochel, that's what you do on Yontif, because you want to have less tircha on Yontif. So even though you're allowed to do the borer, because of like Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's extension of, even though it's before Lash, it's part of the Hedra Ochel Nefesh, you do it with the less tircha. Anything that could have been done before Yontif, though, you should use a type of shinui in the separating method. Okay, and again, just like Tochein, he quotes that any borer that's usually done on the large scale would be usur. That again, that's the Gemara at the beginning of the third parak. Good, period, two dots. Rabbi Kiva Eger says one other ha'ar, and he says, but what are you allowed to take out the psoles in some cases? Why isn't the psoles muksa? Why are you allowed to move it? If taking out the psoles is less tircha, so why are you allowed to take out the psoles? Isn't it muksa? Sorry? Is it graf shel rei? Okay, that's one hetzer. Maybe it's graf shel rei, that it's something disgusting. Or he says another. He says maybe this is a riot to the summary shown him that we discussed a little bit earlier. That is hetero chanefesh also matres muksa, which is a machlokas we shown him, whether that's true. But it could be, he says, he thinks that the Rebbe Kivaker on the Mishnah is right here on this Mishnah. He says, you see from this Mishnah, he thinks that hetero chol nefesh is matir even muksa. Raya from here that Basil says, boer kedarka. Two dots. Rabbi Gamliel says you can even put the items in the water and let it float up. Tanya, that's what they used to do. They used to bring a pail full of lentils. They used to fill the pile of lentils with water, and the psoles would float up. Right, the dirt would float to the top. Vatanya, if we have a brisa where that said that it would float down. Lokasha b'afra b'gili. Depends what kind of garbage you're talking about. If you're talking about dirt, the dirt is heavy to flow down. If it's gili, if it's type of straw that's stuck on the lentils, that would float up. Period. Beshamei omrim, another machlokas. Beshamei omrim, ein mishalchen b'yantav elamanos. You're only allowed to send. Again, the issue is, machlokas, what the potential problem of this mission is. Is it you're preparing, you're sending something that cannot be used on Yantif, so it's like an ufta dechol, this doesn't have to do with a tzarach Yantif, or is there an issue of hotza'a here? Hotza'a, meaning hotza'a is usually mutter, but not for a non-Yantif need. So there's an issue, machlokas, we've shown him what the issue is here. So Bishamai says, you're only allowed to send presents to your friend on Yantif of manos. What are manos? Ready-made, edible items. Ubeisilo omrim, no, mishalchan behema chayv of, bein chayim, bein shchut, you can send raw animals. Raw chickens you could send, even on Yontif. Machlokas number one. Mishachin yein ushmanim muslasas v'kiniyos. You're allowed to send wine and oil and flour. Avalo tvua, you can't send tvua, which is not roi at all. You're going to have to grind it up, and you should have ground it up yesterday. So tvua, you're not going to be able to use on Yontif, so that you're not allowed to use. Rav Shimon matam b'tvua. Rav Shimon says, no, even tvua is allowed, because maybe you'll boil it up, and you'll grind it in a machteshes katana, and therefore it is usable on Yontif. So one of the achron in the Prichadash notes, he quotes in Hilchis Purim, that he thinks you cannot send raw chickens and meat for Shalach Manos, because this Mishnah contrasts Manos to raw, right, oaf and basar, shchutin and chai. The whole discussion we had, Shalach Manos, is it for the Suda, is it for Achtus, like the Manos Halevi, the Sefer on the Megillah by Rav Shlomo Alkibitz. But he brings a raya from this Mishnah that Manos does not include raw meat. Okay, but there is another whole discussion is, what about kinyan on Yontif, Shabbos and Yontif, right, which Aaron was about to ask. But the Mishnah later on Daf Lamed Vav, he says, you can't make kinyanim. The Gemara does not relate to that at all here, about not making kinyanim on Yontif. Okay, it's an issue, maybe Menachem will talk about it tomorrow, if he gets to it. Let's just read the next few lines. Tani Rav Yechiel, Ubavach le'yasena b'shura. You're allowed to send these gifts as long as you don't send it in a row. Meaning you send it with a bunch of people, that's really, looks like a weekday activity. Rashi quotes here avsha milsa, and therefore it would be a problem. Tana, how much is a shura? In shura plus mishal shabani adam. Shura means three people. The Ron here says three people because it'll look like a seller, a buyer, and a middleman. Right, so that's why you don't want to have three people. It'll look like you're busy going to shuk. Boy, Ravashi, plus a gavri, plus a mine mai. What if you're sending three different presents with three different people? So do you go by the group? Or do you go by the each present only as one person? So take it, we're not sure. Rav Shimon Matar B'Tvua, Tanya, Rav Shimon Matar B'Tvua, why does he Matar B'Tvua? Kegon Chitim Lassas Behen Ludios. You can send wheat because you can make Ludios out of wheat. Seorim Litein Lepnei Behento. Barley is animal food, right? Like the whole of the Torah is about Pesach and Shavuos. On Pesach we bring the Karban Omer, which is made out of barley. On Shavuos we make to bring the Shtei Alecha, which is out of Chitim, because Shvir is about going from the level of Machal Behemoth, Machal Adam. But Seorim is barley food. Adashim Lassas Behen Resisin. Lentils to make Resisin, which is a lentil type of mix. Okay, this is the machloksim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about sending different types of foods. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, the Mishnah continues to discuss these, what kinds of clothing you're allowed to send. The Isurim of Kilayim come up. And tomorrow starts the beginning of the second parak. Enjoy the beginning of Erev Tavshilin. Right, Erev Tavshilin, the basic background of Erev Tavshilin is tomorrow's daf, the beginning of the second parak. And Beis Shammai, we'll pick up on Sunday. And again, I'll be, Beis Shammai, giving shir Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then Tuesday night, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, but I'll be at the beginning of the week. Okay. Shalom aleichem.